Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's Live at Daily Afternoon Call-In Talk Show. I'm Alan Chartok. Well, the Donald is at it again. This time he's calling for a constitutional amendment that would effectively run illegal immigrants out of the country at a time when the majority of Americans think they should be allowed to stay. And that isn't all. He's also taking shots at some of his colleagues who are running for the presidency, saying that they weren't born in this country or their parents weren't Americans and, well, you know, that they shouldn't be allowed. The majority opinions aside, is any constitutional amendment even realistic given the political climate in the United States? Should candidates for the presidency be focusing on what some would call a dead parrot? George Carpinello is here, a partner at the Albany law firm of Boies, Schiller and Flexner, an old friend and a great guy. Also joining us here is our regular commentator and Albany Law School professor, Stephen Gottlieb. Both are experts in constitutional law and are here to enlighten our discussion today. We want to hear from you, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, I want to start it on not as advertised, but I want to start it on this business about who should be allowed to be to run for president. George Romney was born in Mexico, but he was allowed. We now have people wanting to run for president who are born in Canada. What's the deal? George, you go first.
Well, generally, people born outside the United States of American citizens are citizens at birth by statute. But that doesn't answer the question of whether they're eligible for presidency, which the Constitution defines as natural born persons. I think it's an undecided issue. Generally, I think people have gotten the pass if they're, for example, born at a military installation or at an embassy abroad, because that's considered, in effect, American territory. It'd be an interesting constitutional battle.
I think that's what Romney had. I think he was born in the embassy. I'm not quite sure.
John McCain, I think, was born in a military base.
Yeah, interesting.
So, but if his parents were on a diplomatic mission to Mexico, and for whatever reason, his mother needed to give birth at a moment where they weren't on embassy soil, I can't really imagine the result would have been any different. There are many situations where the children of natural-born Americans are abroad doing work for the United States. They have children. I spent a couple of years in the Peace Corps. Now, I married my wife later. She had our child here. She was also a Peace Corps volunteer. But if one of our volunteers had a baby while we were abroad, I'm sure that
they
would have been Americans.
They are.
And they would have been eligible.
By statute, they are Americans.
But I think they also would have been eligible to run for president because they were natural-born to Americans who themselves, you know, had citizenship. Yeah.
Okay, but the phones are really beginning to light up. So before we go to them, I wanted to ask you this. This other issue of a constitutional amendment, you know, on immigration, have either of you studied up on this? Would it effectively run illegal immigrants out of the country at a time when the majority of Americans think in polling that they should be allowed to stay? So, but constitutional amendments are almost impossible.
What you're talking about, an amendment, is an amendment aimed at the children.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not clear that an amendment is necessary, but most scholars think that it would be.
And it's not clear that an amendment would drive out. But it's the 14th Amendment, and let's be clear, there's a piece of the right wing that has been taking aim at the 14th Amendment, and it's not just about Mexican immigrants. There's a piece of the right wing that talks about 14th Amendment citizens, and what they have in mind are blacks, African Americans, because in their view, they weren't, many of them, citizens of the United States, couldn't, by Dred Scott, be citizens until the 14th Amendment. So when they talk about 14th Amendment citizens, there's a lot that in their minds is at stake.
Let's be clear, I think, what Steve is saying. There's a lot of scholarly writing from the right that says the language in the 14th Amendment that says if you're born here, you're automatically an American citizen, was not intended to apply to illegal or undocumented aliens. And their position is the 14th Amendment, when it says people born in the United States, in the jurisdiction of the United States, was designed solely to free the slaves and to give full rights to black Americans and should not be applied generally. Most of the case law supports the notion that if you're born here in the United States, however short your duration of your parents, you are automatically thereby a citizen of the United States.
I was actually addressing a slightly different issue than George is drawing, because I wanted to make clear the well of conservative thought that this comes out of. And he's looking at the highfalutin part of it, you know, that makes the law reviews. But for the book that I've got coming out on the Roberts Court, probably in January, I had to go into thought about all these patriot groups and militia groups and the associated parts of the right wing.
And they don't like the 14th Amendment for the reasons you said.
They don't like it to court, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is that this is not only tapping into the immigrant issue, but in the minds of that far-right group of people, it's tapping into an issue that's much broader with respect to the groups of people that they're prejudiced about.
Okay, should we take some phone calls, guys?
Sure.
Is that all right with you? Okay, we'll go to Jeff in Gardner. Okay, Jeff, you're on.
Good afternoon, and first, thank you. I'm honored to be on the show with such three distinguished gentlemen.
Well, two anyway.
And I want to start by saying I never studied political science, and I never studied psychology. So I can't pretend to like know what's in Donald Trump's mind, but I have studied logic, and I go by that he's going to benefit financially from an increase in his name recognition, that he basically benefits from marketing his name.
He's brand building.
So he's in a win-win situation here, where right. he can't do anything but win. But if his main market is his name.
Well, Jeff, when our wonderful screener Colleen put your little yellow thing on the window, it said Trump isn't a real candidate.
Yes, that's what I should have begun with.
I would beg to differ.
Trump is a real candidate.
He is. He is. He's leading in the polls.
Let me say one other. The reason I conclude this is because I envision down the street when he answers the question by saying, well, if I had negotiated this deal for you, or if I had hired somebody to negotiate this deal for you, then you would have had a better outcome. Now, after the 10th or 12th time on a different subject, he comes back with the same exact answer. People are going to realize, hey, wait a minute. This guy never did anything for anybody in his entire life, number one. I've never seen any evidence. And
Okay. We get it. So my question to you, back to you, would be, what makes you think he isn't a real candidate? He's ahead in all of the polls. If he wins in the primaries, right?
Thank you. What makes me think he isn't a candidate is because I don't think he has the meter to stand there in a situation and be questioned by a journalist who knows his actual dealings, the business dealings that made him a significant figure, having been financed, really.
Yeah, but the more outrageous...
the friends of his father.
Okay. George Carpinello?
I assume that that's why he was getting in the race also, was to build his name for commercial purposes, but he may be stuck with the fact that he's now potentially a leading candidate and potentially one who may go the distance. But it is interesting that some of his positions do raise issues which other people don't want to talk about. And the issue particularly about the citizenship of people born in the United States automatically becoming Americans is one that has percolated for a number of years in Congress, especially among right-thinking people, right being right on as opposed to left, not right versus wrong.
It needs to be a better word.
But he's focused on an issue which a lot of people have been debating about for quite a long time, and so you have to give him a little bit of credit for that because he raised an issue that other people didn't want to talk about.
Steve Gottlieb?
Well, I was going to actually address the other issue in Jeff's comment, which is that by raising issues on which he's going to lose, there is...
What do you mean lose?
Lose a public support.
I see. I don't see it that way. I think he's gaining public support.
He's gaining public support, but short of what it would take to make him a president. But that still benefits him in the other way in the business. And I was going to say, there's sometimes that lawyers do that.
You're such a liberal.
There's sometimes that lawyers bring a lawsuit to raise an issue, even realizing that they aren't going to
go all the way. He's pandering. That's what he's doing. And he knows it's effective and he knows it's working for him and he's going to keep doing more of it. And you guys assuming, everybody's assuming he's not really a real candidate. He's not really running. I pointed out 1,000 times here that we have seen history, lessons in history where guys were called clowns and stuff and they ended up running governments. It happened.
So you're calling this one a panda bear?
That's funny. Okay. Jeff, thanks for
Wait a minute. If I could say one other thing, that it was just that,
yeah.
You know, I seem to have misplaced it now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you're not the only one. I do it all the time. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate
it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Okay, we'll go to Jacques in Dutchess County, 1-800-348-2551. Jacques, you're on.
Hey, thank you. How are you?
We're good, aren't we, guys?
Yes.
Everybody all right?
Yeah. I'll make it quick. Excellent. I just wanted to say the way that the political system works in America, I think we deserve Donald Trump to be president of the United States. And I really feel that people who call themselves liberals are just becoming too complacent. They've given up hope for a multi-party system. It's now one or the other of two greater evils. And I think everyone's to blame for it.
I'm fascinated by what you said, that we deserve, you know, to have a guy like Trump. I don't know that we do or that your children do or that my children do. You know, it's to make the bigger point, which is that the system needs some rectification. It's hardly the point of saying, so we should have Trump.
That was Ralph Nader's point.
Yeah.
He just made it at a very inconvenient time.
Yeah, very tragically for the country, in my
view.
Yeah.
And it did make a huge, I think it made a huge difference for the future history of the country, in fact, which of those two, if you want to call them evils, we picked. But there was a lot to what Nader was saying, that in certain respects, both parties are in the same place on a variety of issues
that
need to be rethought.
So there was no difference between, you know, the Bushes and...
There was a massive difference.
There was a massive difference. We all think that.
I sat here and duked it out with him, and it ended up in a screaming match. And he met one of my students and said, who told him that she was my student, and he said, oh, you're a student of the screamer. That's just not a relevant story. But anyway, Jacques, good call. Appreciate it.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. It was completely coincidence that I turned on the radio and heard that you guys were talking about this topic.
Well,
have a good afternoon.
Never turn it off. Thanks, Jacques.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Habitat Post and Beam, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, designing and manufacturing energy-efficient post and beam homes and additions throughout the Northeast since 1972. PostandBeam.com. Kingsway Community Schenectady, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including rehabilitation and more, caring in the family tradition, KingswayCommunity.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Capital Wine, corner of State and Lark Streets in the heart of Albany, offering local, domestic, and international wines, spirits, and special orders. Tastings Friday 6 to 9, CapitalWineAlbany.com. Clipcentric Albany, a local video services division of Clipcentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the Capital Region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.Clipcentric.com. And Rogers Book Barn, Hillsdale, New York. York, a bookstore on a country road with 30,000 used books and classical CDs. Open 11 to 5, Thursday to Monday, rogersbookbarn.com.
And we are back with the brilliant lawyer George Carpinello and the partner of the Albany law firm of Boies, Schiller and Flexner. Also joining us is equally brilliant and wonderful Albany Law School professor Stephen Gottlieb. Both are experts in constitutional law. So for goodness sakes, ask a constitutional law question. 1-800-348-2551. Although, right, guys, we'll try to handle anything you throw at us. Yeah, that's right. Okay, we'll go to Barry in Scotia. Okay, Barry in Scotia, you're on.
Hello, everybody. I have two comments. These are not illegal and do not disqualify people for running for office, but Jeb Bush in 2000 had a purge of the registration in Florida, which resulted in throwing off many times the number of voters that decided the election there. And yet the press seems to be avoiding or doesn't want to mention that. Hillary Clinton has material on her private web server, whatever, because she wanted to have privacy and didn't want everybody to be nosing around what she is sending. And whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But she attacked Ed Snowden for revealing exactly the same thing that the NSA is doing to the rest of us. So I'll stand by and listen to your comments. Thank you.
Okay. Who wants to go? George, you want to go first?
Well, I think I don't know the.
Okay. Go ahead.
I don't know the particulars of the Bush efforts, but I know nationwide a lot of Republican state administrations are working very hard to defranchise voters who they think are going to vote Democratic on the basis of preventing voter fraud. The statistics show that voter fraud in this country is infinitesimal, certainly in comparison to the number of people that get disenfranchised by intricate laws that require, for example, a photo ID for people who don't drive automobiles and have to get apply specially for special registration to get photographic identification.
And once you make somebody go anywhere, you've lost half of them.
Right. And that's what they're playing on. They're planning on, if we can eliminate 10 or 15% of these people, that's a margin of error and a victory for us.
Steve?
It's not just anywhere. It's the expense for someone who is poor and has to lose a day's work every time they have to go anywhere to get what they need to vote.
Sure.
The caller says, is it Barry? Says that it's not illegal. I can't speak to the rules, the statutes in the Clinton aspect, but constitutionally, many of us would make the argument that what happened in Florida was unconstitutional. We've lost. We've got a court that's not going to respect that argument. But then it's a question of what you mean by legality. Is legality what the Constitution commands, in which case we can argue about it, or is legality only what the court says, in which case we know that this court will not give any help to those on the lower end of the scale?
Right.
Should we shouldn't leave Hillary alone, I guess, because the caller was bipartisan in his attacks. And
we have to be bipartisan.
No, but I think that the Hillary's email problem is for many Democrats inexplicable, that certainly Republicans are taking advantage of every aspect of it, but that she would expose herself with regard to this issue. And, you know, while serving as Secretary of State, channeling emails through a private server does make a lot of people scratch their heads.
Well, I agree with you. Yeah. I think you're right. Listen, folks, stay on the phone because we may want to ask you a question. The last guy, he crapped out. You know, he left. So we couldn't ask him any follow-up. Let's go to Ron in Highland. Ron, you're on.
Hey, guys. Well, regarding Trump's success, which is confounding so many pundits, I want to remind everybody, and excuse me if this point's been broached before, I just tuned in, that we here in the Northeast, listening to AMC, kind of live in a cocoon, you know, of liberalism and progressive thinking that is not representative of the rest of this country. If any of you have ever driven across this country, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
George?
Well, I concur. I recently had to try a case in Texas, and was exposed.
My cousin Vinny. Remember that film?
Well, that's exactly what I felt like. I felt as soon as I arrived in the middle of the town in East Texas, I felt like my cousin Vinny. And as it happened, I forgot my suit, so it was really my cousin Vinny.
Like you blend.
I blend. So, but the advertising then, the political advertising, the rabid anti-Obama advertising in East Texas and Louisiana was really a shock to me.
I mean, I listen to the talk shows and you hear the N-word and you hear people doing all kinds of disgusting.
It is very different culturally from here. Yes. No question.
It's incredible out there. And that's, you know, that's a lot of his base, I think.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah, and that's why people say to me, you know, Bernie, I've announced, because I think it's the right thing to do, that I'm voting for Bernie. But that doesn't mean I think he's going to win.
That doesn't mean people in Nebraska are going to vote for him.
Yeah, Steve, did you want to add anything?
Well, I think you've said it on this one.
Okay. Listen, Ron, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you all. Have a good day.
Okay, so if you want to get in on this, this is it. I got 4 free phones right now, and that's unusual. And we have incredible talent sitting here across from me. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Bob in Enfield, Connecticut. Bob, you're on.
Thank you. I'm a Republican town committee member, and I'm viewing it as Trump as an outsider, and I'm just wondering, would he be accepted by all these town committees or state committees or national committee? You know, he has to schmooze up to those people. But the other thing is, we have...
Wait, stop. Why does he have to schmooze up with you people? You find him contemptuous, and he finds you contemptuous.
Well, fine. I mean, I'm just making a statement. I'm for Trump, believe me.
But, right.
We have a treaty with Mexico that when we took away Texas and Arizona and Southern California, they gave Mexican workers rights. All they had to do was a work permit to come to work in the United States, to work on these farms and go back over the border. They didn't need a visa to come to the United States by the treaty. And also, you got the ex post facto law in the Constitution. If you change the law, anybody that was eligible under the old law, they stay. You can't deport them. I mean, if his million jobs that he's going to put in are going to be detention camps, there's where the million jobs are. We did that to the Japanese, and I think we're treating these people very unfairly, even discussing that issue.
Okay, George?
Well, I don't think any of the proponents of changing the rules with regard to eligibility for citizenship would do it ex post facto. In other words, I don't think the proponents, I don't know about Trump, but most of the thinking proponents of a change in the rule would not say we're thereby going to divest all these people of their citizenship, most of the people that I read about. I can't predict, and I haven't heard what Trump would say about that, but I agree that it would be extremely harsh, possibly unconstitutional, to deprive people who already are American citizens by virtue of the constitutional provision, to deprive them of that right. I suppose one could argue that they never really did legally become American citizens. If the Supreme Court in 4 years from now says in a test case, this provision of the Constitution didn't make them citizens, and they never were citizens, and they aren't citizens, so there's nothing unconstitutional about depriving them of that citizenship.
And of course, before Steve goes, I think this point has been made over and over in the program. He doesn't have to be responsible in what he says. No, I mean, that's ridiculous. Well, I mean, what he says is put 12 million people back on airplanes and send them back.
Could I make one more comment?
Sure.
In all these local offices and state offices, there's nothing that says you have to be a citizen, U.S. citizen, to run for office and hold an office. There's nothing in our town charter, nothing in the state charter that says that. I mean, maybe some other states have that, but we don't have it.
Okay, Steve Gottlieb?
Well, actually, I've lost my thought.
It's going around now. Me too.
Yes, I know. I wish that at my years I had the memory that Paul had at 90. Yeah, frankly, but I have lost it.
Yeah.
I've lost it. Sorry.
I think that's right. Most people do not. Most statutes, local ordinances and state ordinances, don't require you to be a citizen. I think to be a judge in New York, I think you have to be a citizen, as well as a lawyer if you're going to be elected to the Supreme Court. But you're absolutely right. And of course, the Equal Protection Clause of our Constitution, the 14th Amendment, protects all persons, not just citizens.
Okay.
I was going to add that there are cases about depriving someone of citizenship, and they have very strong language about what would be necessary to do that. That is to deprive them after they have become citizens, to take it away. Hmm. Those cases tend to be the Warren Court or before. And, you know, when you teach constitutional law, do you teach the kids that this case is still on the books and therefore it is the rule? Or do you teach them that I have no confidence in the current court obeying rules on hot button issues that were developed on the Warren Court? And then some people get very critical because, oh, you're not teaching them the proper respect for the law, etc. But to me, as an attorney, as someone who has practiced law, you need to know what you're dealing with, and your ability to know the judges is your stock in trade. So I basically agree with, I do agree with everything that George said about the issue, but there is this other layer of the constitutional questions behind it, and I just never feel any confidence of the Roberts Court's treatment of a Warren Court decision.
Sure, I agree with you. Okay, thank you very much, Bob from Enfield. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to George in Chesapeake, Virginia. Okay, George.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. That caller that mentioned, I think, Bernie Sanders about Nebraska. I lived in Omaha, Nebraska for 3 or 4 years after I moved from Western Massachusetts. And now I'm down in Chesapeake, and I still listen to WAMC.
Cool.
On the media project yesterday, I got a quick comment on that, too. You know, you talked about people getting their news, and my comment is this is how I get my news from the BBC and WAMC. So
that is
you guys
cool.
Have a great afternoon.
You too, George. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was great.
Yeah.
I love to hear from far away. Let's go to John in Albany. John, go.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
How are you guys?
All right. We're fine.
All right, I want to give me a minute here. I want to explain something that is very fascinating to me. You've been to a casino, right?
Have you guys been in a casino?
Oh.
I was once in a casino, you know, yes. I was once in a casino.
Right. I have walked through slept in one, but I haven't done any betting in a real casino. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so when you go to a big casino and you win a lot of money, you hit the jackpot, what they do is cordon off that machine to make sure that you did not tamper with it and it did not falsely give you a winning paycheck. And if they verify everything is correct, they reset the machine and everything is honky-dory,
okay,
right?
I know this is going somewhere, John, but there are a lot of people behind you, so go ahead.
So the thing is this. Right now, I don't know of any other country in this world that if you step foot and give birth to a baby, your baby becomes a citizen and uses that citizenship to turn around and claim citizenship for their parents. In other words, if you look at Mexico, they are in de facto all U.S. citizens by the virtue of their kids having crossed, of their relatives having crossed over to have a baby. As soon as that happens, that child can be used, whether they're Chinese or Mexican, to immigrate their whole entire family based on that citizenship.
Okay, stop, really stop. We got it. We want to answer quickly because we're running out of time here. George first.
Well, he's absolutely right that there are a certain segment of the world community that come here to the United States simply to give birth and have a child and establish some foothold here. It is not correct that you automatically get to stay because you have a child here. The Obama administration has placed, in effect, certain regulations that make it easier for parents of children born here to stay here, but much of that is being challenged in the courts right now as being unconstitutional.
What?
Am I still on the air?
Yes.
And also I want to mention the fact that why are we so fascinated by Donald Trump? Our U.S. Congress does not work based on this 60-vote majority. When did we declare 60 votes as what is needed to pass through things that needs to be done in Congress?
Well, that's
a whole separate program.
It's another program. Okay.
One I agree with.
Okay, John, thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Alan.
Support comes from Landis Arboretum, Esperance, New York, announcing Fall Plant Benefit, September 19th and 20th. LandisArboretum.org, made possible by the Montgomery County Occupancy Tax, administered by the Montgomery County Board of Supervisors. Cowan's Auctions, accepting consignments of jewelry, fine art, historic firearms, American Indian art, historic items, and more. 518-396-7994 for appointments. Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, working with over 50 local farmers this summer to offer over 100 locally grown products. Berkshire.coop for mission and business model. Ye Old Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, plus collectibles and curiosities. Open 7 days a week, yeoldwarwickbookshop.com. Old Castle Theater Group, downtown Bennington, Vermont, presenting Black Comedy by Peter Schaefer, an enlightening farce that begins when the lights go out. August 21st through September 6th, oldcastletheater.org for tickets. And College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. collegestreetmotors.com.
Okay, so we're back with two wonderful panelists. I can't believe we got them both. They're terrific. George Carpinello, a partner in the Albany law firm of Boies, Schiller, and Flexner, and our regular commentator in Albany Law School, Professor Stephen Gottlieb. Both are experts in constitutional law. Okay, we heard from Jay over the internet. I don't think people realize that Mexicans are barely crossing the border anymore. They are from violence-stricken countries like Honduras, Nicaragua, and El Salvador. Alabama passed a law kicking their undocumented workers out, and now they're appealing that law because the farms couldn't find workers. Okay. At the beginning of the show, says R, I heard your guest mention a connection between citizenship and the 14th Amendment in relation to the Supreme Court's Dred Scott decision. I'm now wondering, was there also a relationship affecting citizenship with the Supreme Court's decision in Plessy versus Ferguson?
Yes.
Thank you for shedding some lights on our constitutional history. Who said yes?
I did.
Go.
Part of what the 14th Amendment was specifically designed to do, and actually there are most of Section 1 deals with partly with Plessy, deals with Plessy versus Ferguson. There are other issues that right. they address, but Plessy is central to everything. And the Citizenship Clause was the last thing added to the amendment, and that was very specifically directed at Plessy.
George?
To make freed slaves and make it clear, overruling Dred Scott, that all persons born in the United States are citizens of the United States, no distinction based on race.
Okay, panel, can we please have a serious discussion on the toxic unintended consequences of cultural and linguistic BC run amok, which the Donald is almost the most recent glaring example. This is a vein that's been festering for decades and been tapped for its own reasons. I agree with you, Bonnie, and we'll do that some other time. We're not going to do it right now unless anybody has anything that they really want to.
I didn't understand the question.
Well, the question is, there's so much PC around, you know, I think.
But how is Donald
PC? He's the anti-PC.
Well,
he's the
yes, anti, but yeah. He raises, I think what Bonnie means is he brings out the PC, you know, and so many other people, and for whatever reason.
Yeah. There are bigger issues than PC involved in this stuff.
All true. Okay, we've got Eliza. Eliza, we're really running out of time, so keep it short. Go ahead.
Hi there. I am wondering what your guest's opinion of the most effective way to get Citizens United overturned is, since the 0.1% financing our political campaigns and legally corrupting our politicians is the root cause, it seems to me, of many of our issues.
Okay, so Eliza, I think we all agree, at least the four of us do, you and the three of us, on the issue. Nevertheless, either you got to get the Supreme Court to overturn it, or you got to pass a constitutional amendment.
Right,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And the first requires elections at which somebody who would put in justices that have a different view would be elected.
Which is why when somebody grabs a hold of me and starts shaking me and telling me that, this is, it's all, this is Tweedledee and Tweedledum, well, just look at who's on the Supreme Court and look at what they did there. Eliza, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Olivia in Niskayuna. Olivia, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Hi, I just want to tell you that I'm voting for Trump, and I knew I was before he even announced it. I had a feeling he was running, and he's totally right. I mean, when the feds came out three or four months ago and they said that we had ISIS in every state of the Union except Alaska, I think that says a lot, okay? And everybody that's, and I realize that it's not just Hispanics coming here. Everybody should be accepted to the role. Whether they be Chinese, African, or whatever, if you're illegal, then you've got to go. You've got to go. I mean, we can't have everybody coming here. I mean, come on. Like, you know what I mean? Something has to be done about this.
Okay.
This is outrageous.
Okay, that's good. George Carpinelli.
I agree with him.
You made that clear. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair, though, to equate ISIS and terrorists within our midst with illegal aliens.
12 million of them.
Yeah. I'm not sure that correlation is clear. A number of the people they've arrested are people who are legally here, born here.
The correlation is that they're coming over the southern border, and that falls into illegal immigration. The problem is the country isn't secure.
But you weren't listening to him.
You weren't
listening to him. George Carpinello made the point that many of these ISIS kids who are turning to ISIS are American citizens. They're not coming over the border. They
and
come
indeed,
from here.
Indeed, some of the Mexicans that are coming over the border are probably the most loyal Americans that we've got. To them, this is the heavenly place.
And I think
they've come to.
I think it's important that a lot of.
Well, I said it's not. I'm identifying that it's not just Hispanics. I mean, it's Arabs, it's Africans. There are all kinds of people coming in here. So the point is that the problem is the country isn't secure. That's why we have a problem with illegal immigration. So, I mean, there's, multiple aspects of this whole thing. But, it's just something's got to be done about it. And he's the only one that cares to do something about it. So I agree with him.
We have plenty of homegrown crime. It's not a problem of immigration. We have lots of...
Okay, we got hung up on.
That's fine.
Okay, all right. Let's go to Marta in Poughkeepsie. Marta, you're on.
Hello, Dr. Shartok. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey.
I just talk fast because I know time's running out.
You're right.
You know, this thing of huddled masses yearning to be free, I think the Statue of Liberty was supposed to be holding the torch for those people from all over the world who come here out of desperation because it's so dangerous to come here. And this idea that we're going to build a wall, I remember how excited everybody was about the Berlin Wall coming down. Now we're building a horrible wall to keep the Mexicans out. I mean, the reason the Mexicans, the Hondurans, the Salvadorians, the Nicaraguans, anyone from Central America trying to get out is because of American policies there. Have we forgotten the school of America's that taught how to talk about terrorism, how to torture people and terrify them? And then our culture here is the lifeblood that's coming in over the border from Mexico is like in Poughkeepsie has been a major gift because they'll do any kind of work and they do excellent work, generally speaking, and nobody else would touch that work because it's so dangerous, that's so poorly paid. And on top of that, we're talking women and children, like 60,000 was the last number I heard, incarcerated because they had the strength to make it here. Under horrifying conditions, just the travel alone was a nightmare. I don't know how you ever get over that kind of traumatic experience. If you make it here, those people are so strong and have such a strong life force. And the refugees that keep drowning, trying to get from horror shows, war zones that the U.S. is very much a part of, bombing the hell out of people, the worst way you can kill people.
Martha, let me just stop you there. You've made your point, and it's come around a couple of times.
Thank you.
And I want to compliment you for calling up and making the point. As I want to compliment the person who called and said she was supporting Trump because
what her ethnic heritage is.
We want everybody on this on
European,
show.
European, perchance, immigration. Did that happen in her family history?
It did in mine. And my mother was greeted by the Statue of Liberty.
Martha, and I remember when they wouldn't let Jews in here during World War II and
indeed.
How shameful that history is.
Indeed. Marta, thank you. Okay, let's go to Peter in Wappingers. Okay, Peter, you're on.
Thank you, Alan. I was concerned about, and I think everybody is concerned about, the amount of funding that can go to political campaigns by corporations. And I'm just wondering what the relationship is between treating a corporation as a person and then allowing this amount of funding to come funneling through in that basis. And what's the basis for a corporation being a person when that person doesn't stand in the same situation when it comes to penalties or as a real person?
George Coppenow.
It doesn't get a chance to vote as a real person. So why is it a person?
Yeah, there's a long history. Stephen teaches this, so he can elaborate. But there's a very long history of Supreme Court cases going back into the 19th century, recognizing corporations have certain constitutional rights. And generally, I'm generally supportive of that in terms of people forming into corporations should be free from arbitrary confiscation, should be able to have freedom of contract and all the general rights.
Yeah, I understand certain rights,
but I think
certain other privileges.
Okay, let's let George finish. Go ahead.
I think many people think the Supreme Court went too far with regard to Citizens United and effectively eviscerated our ability to regulate the amount of money going into elections. You don't need to believe that corporations should have certain constitutional rights to go as far as the Citizens United decision did. I think fundamentally, the campaign finance issue is now a complete and total mess, and my view is can only be rectified by a thoughtful constitutional amendment.
So considering Bush versus Gore, considering the Citizens United, doesn't it sort of look to you guys, forget about all of the constitutional issues, that this court wants to see the Republicans remain in power?
Well, absolutely.
I think they've lost a lot of their legitimacy. I think generally the public believes that they're result-oriented, that is, that they'll choose a doctrine to get to a result. I have to say, by purposes of disclosure, that my firm was involved in Bush v. Gore. David Boies represented Al Gore. But that court, in seizing upon the Equal Protection Clause to invalidate those results, was outlandish because those same judges hardly ever recognized the right under the Equal Protection Clause. But at that point in time, they grabbed on it to come to a result. I think they decided they wanted to conclude the election.
Precisely.
And dramatically changed the clause in the process. Yeah. They didn't read it in any traditional way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Peter. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go to... I don't know. Oh, Peter in Shandaken. Okay. Peter in Shandaken, you're on.
Yeah, hello. Yes. I just wanted to bring up the point that Ted Cruz, who's running for president, is actually ineligible because he was born in Calgary, Alberta, which is Canada. So that's my
Second. Wait, so let's get the guys. Don't get off. Guys, what do you think, George?
I think that is a legitimate question. I don't know the details of. My understanding is that his family emigrated from Cuba to Canada and from Canada to the United States. Yeah. And so, if he was born in Canada while his family was living there, not in Canada for any diplomatic purpose, I would say that he's not eligible to become president.
Okay.
So, in other words, if the family's in Canada and they had not acquired American citizenship and stuck with the rules, then they wouldn't come under the statutory rules that treat him as an American citizen.
Peter, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Nicholas in Albany. Nicholas in Albany, you're on.
Hey there. I'm just wondering, what do you think the effect will be of the polls or the general race once Trump has to come up with actual policy decisions? Because everything I've heard about is what he's not for, and then what he is for is just basically smoke and mirrors.
Well, except if the people accept the smoke and mirrors, too bad. Tough noogies. That's the way it is.
Yeah, but eventually everyone else is going to have policy on the table, and he's going to have to eventually come out with something, correct?
Not correct. It's why the have-to part of your sentence is so interesting. He doesn't have to do anything if what he's doing works.
Besides, he has come out with policies. He's got a whole white paper on immigration.
He wants to put people on planes and send them all
back.
Yeah,
I mean, I think
million.
It's totally unrealistic, but he has come out with positions which appeal to a certain segment of the community.
Sure.
When you send people back, by the way, who've been here all their lives, acquired citizenship because they were born here, but their parents are illegal, but then they're here all their lives, and you try to send them back to a country they've never experienced, they come back to the U.S., but they come back here as criminals. Because when they go to that home country, they don't have the language, they don't have the contacts. The only people to whom they're valuable are the criminal gangs. That point was made by a speaker from West Point, and I apologize, I can't remember her name, but it was I was very impressed by the point that she made, that it's a very self-defeating policy to take kids who have never experienced another country and then try to get rid of them.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to, very quickly now, because we're running out of time, Nancy in Oneonta. Okay, Nancy.
Yes, I actually have a question about constitutionality. A friend of mine alerted me to this proposal in California that will allow high school students to receive academic credit for attending church classes during public school hours. And I guess now there's another bill introduced in Alabama for the same thing.
I don't know. The kids in my school, when I was at PS 75, used to get release time to go take.
But they're giving credit.
Oh, this is credit generating. Yeah,
I think it's.
Yeah, and it's also they're releasing them most of the time. I've seen. I used to work in the public schools. That it would be after school that they could go immediately to the classes. But this is during school time and for credit.
Okay, very quickly.
Yeah, I don't know what the credit was for. I think if the credit was for religious indoctrination, that would be questionable. I think more than questionable,
it should be unconstitutional. Well, but what this court would do to change the rules, neither George nor I know.
Who knows? But if they're going, for example, if they're going to class to take to learn a language or something, then it's probably constitutional that they're learning it, even if it's in a parochial school.
Nancy, it sounds like a good other Vox Pop. Thank you very much for calling. Let's go to Zach in Springfield. Okay, Zach, you're on.
Hey, Alan and Joe, how are you?
We're good, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to make it quick. I completely disagree with Donald Trump's immigration policy. I think we should be so lucky to have these people who can help, you know, make our country great. I think we
Well, Zach, you're not the first person to say that today. So,
and basically the point I wanted to make is I think that we need to have these people building up our infrastructure and actually actively contributing to our country. Give them a path to help our country, and they will do it. It's just not there right now.
Zach, thank you for the call. Appreciate it a lot. Let's go to Bill in Levisol. Okay, Bill, you're on.
My statement slash question is intended to be a bit sardonic.
Okay, but you have to do it quickly. Go ahead.
Do you really believe that Bernie Sanders, who's a communist, should be allowed to run against a true patriot like Donald Trump?
Okay, great. Good question. We'll all ponder it, okay? Thanks a lot. Okay, let's go to Eric in East Greenbush. Eric, you're going to be the last call, so go ahead. It's got to be really quick.
Just real quick. Is Donald Trump really infiltrating the Republican Party to make them look ridiculous? He has a history of appearing to be a liberal, donating to other liberal campaigns and supporting liberal causes. Why is he suddenly the craziest of all the crazies?
Anybody?
It would be a diabolical plot, but I don't think he's that intelligent, frankly.
Political parties have been that diabolical in the 19th century, but I don't know that it's likely now.
Okay, thank you so much. We are out of time. Wonderful show, don't you think, guys? And
thank
I'm
you.
So flattered and honored to have two people of your degreeage with us today. It's really great. We're out of time. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to George Carpinello and Stephen Gottlieb for joining us today. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York, Custom Exhibits, Interactive Media Displays and Commercial Casework for Corporate Interiors, Museum Installations and Trade Shows, EmpireExhibits.com, and from SPAX, featuring Chamber Ensembles and Wuhan on piano tonight, an evening with Joshua Bell on Friday, and Tchaikovsky 1812 Overture Finale and fireworks on Saturday. SPAC.org for tickets. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HennionBakery.com and the Hudson Valley Goldsmith New Paltz, specializing in custom-designed fine jewelry made with conflict-free diamonds and recycled gold, vintage jewelry, and the work of over 20 artists, custom work in an open studio, Hudson Valley Goldsmith.com. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell, Esquire. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Jartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.